right, take your Bibles, please. Turn to Psalm 119. Psalm 119, we're going to read verses 161 through 168 together. This is the next to last study in Psalm 119. Next Wednesday night, we will wrap it up. Then I'm getting ready to start a new series on Wednesday night called Making Biblical Sense of Our Senses. Making Biblical Sense of Our Senses. Some of you, we'd be glad if you just get some sense. No, that's not what it's about, but I'm excited about this. I was recently talking with someone, and I said, you know, in all my years, I grew up in church. I've been in church. See, I'm 48, been in church almost 49 years. I don't know that I've ever heard anybody teach on biblical senses and the senses and how God gave them to us and how they're used spiritually, not as a spiritual gift, but why God gave us the five senses we have. And so we're going to investigate the scripture on it. Say, how long's that one going to be? Till it's done. I have no idea yet. I've been working on it, so it's going to be a while, but I'm excited about tonight. Psalm 119, let's read together Psalm 119, verses 161 through 168. You follow along quietly. Princes have persecuted me without a cause, but my heart standeth in awe of thy word. I rejoice at thy word as one that findeth great spoil. I hate and abhor lying, but thy law do I love. Seven times a day do I praise thee because of thy righteous judgments. Great peace have they which love thy law, and nothing shall offend them. Lord, I have hoped for thy salvation and done thy commandments. My soul hath kept thy testimonies, and I love them exceedingly. I have kept thy precepts and thy testimonies, for all my ways are before thee. Now, this is the 21st of the 22 letters of the Hebrew alphabet. If you look at that little, looks like a fancy W there. It is the letter shin, just like the leg bone below your knee. It is one of the Hebrew letters of the alphabet. And tonight is, in my opinion, it's a little ironic. I did not know 20 weeks ago what would be going on currently in politically. You got to realize 20 weeks ago, that was 5 months ago. That was a long time ago. So not everything, but God's order is always right. But I believe tonight's lesson is appropriate for the time. Folks, I say this, I mean this, not with doom and gloom. We are living in the last days. And by the way, at one time that scared me. I'm ready. I'll be honest with you. I really believe these are the end days before Jesus comes back. It's not something to be afraid of. It's something to be excited about. This is a wonderful, wonderful time in history to be alive. It's a wonderful thing to be a part of. Now, I will say this. Don't let the evil of the day get you down. It's supposed to excite you, not get you depressed. And we have to understand, the closer to the rapture we get, the more powerful that the godless, God-hating politics, systems, and people are going to get in this world. That's just what the Bible says. The worse it gets out there, it's the closer it's getting for us. Amen. And don't let that depress you. Let me show you what I mean. Back in 1970, and I believe it was 1974, some of you old timers can correct me, but I think was the year that Richard Nixon resigned. Is that true? 1974? I was right. Thought I had known my history well enough. 1972? Okay, because you did that. That's why I did that. Okay. You scared me, Brother Brian. I was willing to get corrected, but I thought I had done my homework right. President Nixon resigned, amongst other things, for one basic thing, and that was this: destroying some memos and some things like that. He had enough integrity to resign over getting rid of memos he was not supposed to get rid of. Now we have Hillary running for president who destroyed a server illegally under the State Department with State Department secrets on it, and she gets to run for president. We've come a long way, folks. In 40 years, we went from somebody having enough integrity to resign over it to the other person saying, it doesn't matter, I'm going to be president. What a mess. And by the way, got enough stupid people voting for her, she could possibly do it. Now, we've got to come to grips that it's not going to get better and better for Christianity. We're going to have to realize we're past the point, and I'm not doom and gloom, just so you know. I do believe in revival, just so you understand that. I'm not giving up the ship. I'm not going to quit soul winning and say, oh, woe is me. Let's just sit in our church in our rocking chair and wait for Jesus to come back and don't pay your bills and let the lost world pay your bills. No, pay your bills. Be honest. Don't take debt you cannot pay and keep on going like Jesus isn't going to be here in your lifetime. I believe in doing it the right way. But with that, I also believe that it's not going to get better and better for Christianity. Brother Jim, is that you? Good night. You're going to owe me the pizza store after that one. But the world stage is being set up. Now, I'm not sure it's totally there. But I do know this. We're getting closer and closer. We're getting closer and closer for the Antichrist to take over immediately after the rapture. You have to understand, the Antichrist will rise within days of the rapture. Not months and weeks. It's going to be a matter of days. And I mean literally, probably a week or less, a world leader will come on the scene, and his name will be the Antichrist. And he will hold the world together for peace for about 3.5 years till God says, my turn. And then he's going to unleash 3.5 years of just utter chaos, destruction, and for 42 months, it's going to be bad. Now, for 3.5 years, it's peace. It's going to be pretty good. But then it gets really, really, really bad. And then we come back and watch Jesus whoop up on them at Armageddon. And we come back and rule and reign with him for 1,000 years. Amen? Now, and then we'll get into the rest of that later. But we should look at all of this mess as us getting closer to heaven and not be so worried about how people look at us. We're headed to heaven. Now, how in the world should a Christian make it? How bad is it going to get? How do we survive? Well, the Bible not only gives us the answer, but it shows us here in Psalm 119, it was told thousands of years ago how it was going to be and what we're to do. Now, I want you to notice something. Look at verse number 161. I want you to notice that first word in verse 161, princes. I want you to notice that word prince means a political ruler. It's talking about governments here. Princes aren't just people of notoriety back then, and even today, they still have some authority. And the word prince is the word people of rank, leadership, or political influence. So this is a political section right here. It says, princes have persecuted me without a cause. Wow. But my heart standeth in awe of thy word. I rejoice at thy word as one that findeth great spoil. Now, let me tell you something. Politics always corrupts. Politics always corrupts. Can I tell you why? Do you know what government was started? Government didn't start in the Garden of Eden. Didn't start till after the fall of man. Government was started to protect man from man because of our sin. But guess what? We're all sinners. And when man starts protecting himself from other men, then we get this God mentality that I'm better than you are and my government's more powerful than your government, and we start battling it out. And that's where we are in world history today. Now, politics always corrupts because it feeds the desire for humans to have more power over someone else. Let's just face it. China wants more power than anybody else in the world. Russia wants more power than anybody else in the world. Just ask Vladimir Putin. The Germans want more power than anybody in the world. Our president thinks he has more power than anybody in the world. By the way, that's why I believe, and I honestly believe, that it would help slow things down in America, but I don't think it'll ever happen because we're too far gone. Should have happened about 100 years ago, but that's why we need term limits at every level of politics. City, local, state, and national, every position, including the stupid Supreme Court. When you have too much power too long, you're prone to corruption.
Right.
When you have power too long, unbridled, by the way, that's why the Pope is dangerous. And I'm not going to beat the Pope too hard tonight, maybe. But once he's in till he dies or till he's physically unable to do it. Now watch this, but he's also a political leader. You'll hear the term, oh, he's the leader of the Holy See. What you don't realize is that term Holy See is the country of the Vatican. He oversees a country of about, it's the smallest country in the world, of about 840 people. But it gives him the right to meet with heads of state and has political power and political clout because of it. By the way, our president did bow to him. Everybody doing okay? By the way, governments are not against you personally. Now, hang on here for a second. They're not against you personally. They just don't want to lose their power. And if you stand in the way of their power, watch this, they will attack you. That is why, I'll throw this in a little bit later. Let's just say that Brother Hiles were alive today. How many people actually think that if Jack Hiles were going to go to Washington, D.C., that they would throw the frufa that they've thrown for El Papa? You know what you would be hearing all over the protesting in America today would be? Separation of church and state. You haven't heard one thing said about separation of church and state with the Catholic Church. Not one. Why not? Every news media agent in the country and from around the world are politicizing the Pope being here. Well, where are the separation of church and state folks? It's not a matter of separation of church and state. They want separation of God, Christianity, and state.
Yes, sir.
All right, and I'll get back to that later. Now, they're not against you personally, but they don't want to lose their power because they know you believe in giving the power back to God. Our government is in the same shape the Garden of Eden was when Satan tempted Adam and Eve. And it said every man does that which is right in his own eyes. Adam, you can choose what is right and wrong for yourself. Now, your birth certificate is about to be null and void when it comes to gender because it's going to say to be decided. You can decide later if you want to be a boy or a girl. Folks, I hate to tell you this. God determined that even before you were born. We knew what you was when you was born because God put certain things certain ways for us to know those things. I said that as politically correct as I could, parents. But may I say this, we have no right to change it. I don't care if sodomy is legal, it's not right. I don't care. The Bible says a man should not wear that which pertaineth unto a woman, and a woman shouldn't wear that which pertaineth unto a man. There's a reason. Okay, everybody doing all right? Now, The Bible also says here in verses 161 through 162, we can rejoice in the Bible because it shows us how God wants us to live, and it doesn't matter what man's system says. Did you know you can live as a Christian and still be happy? You know, I'm just as happy now as I was before the Pope got here. Do you know, matter of fact, I might be a little happier now than I was before our current chief administrator got to office. I never thought I would hear myself say that, Brother Gus. But the longer he's in, the more I realize he's just a tool in the hand of Satan, and we're that much closer to Jesus coming back.
Amen.
Period. I'm not worried about it. This world is not my home. I'm just passing through. My treasures are laid up somewhere beyond the blue. Hey, we're headed there before too long. By the way, there's nothing new under the sun. All of the froof and everything going on, I talked about it Sunday night. You're watching it take place on the stupid TV screens, and they're treating him like God. They're bowing before him. They're lauding him. Wow. Can I tell you something? The Bible shows us the end before the beginning. Is it not amazing that some of the things I preached before he ever stepped foot on this our country, we saw it take place? Can I tell you why? Because it's out of here. God shows us the end before the beginning thereof, the Bible says. He already showed us what the end is. All right? So, number one, God tells us that political leaders will be against God's word and God's principles. It shouldn't shock us. It shouldn't shock us that we have political leaders that are against God. All right? It's been that way for thousands and thousands and thousands and thousands of years. All right? Number two, God knows that politics and the world system is full of lying. Look at verse 163. I hate and abhor lying, but thy law do I love. Seven times a day do I praise thee because of thy righteous judgments. Can I tell you something? It's still in reference to the political system there. Take your Bible, turn to John chapter 8, verse number 44. John chapter 8, verse number 44. I want to show you a verse, and then it'll tie right in with what we're going to talk about here. John chapter 8, look at verse number 44. Ye are of your father the devil, and the lust of your father ye will do. He was a murderer from the beginning, and abode not in the truth, because there was no truth in him. When he speaketh a lie, he speaketh of his own, for he is a liar, watch this, and the father of it. Did you know that every lie you tell is inspired by the devil? Matter of fact, did you know you don't have to teach people to lie? You know, I was a principal in a Christian school for many, many years here in South Carolina, and even worked in one in California. Can I tell you something? The first sin of a child, usually, and the most prevalent sin of a child is lying. The Bible says they come forth out of the womb lying. You say, why? Because it's proof you're a sinner. You're of your father, the devil. It's not unusual for a child to lie. You don't have to teach them to tell a lie. You've got to teach them to tell the truth. Everybody doing okay? Is anybody out there? Yes. All right, here we go. Whew, thought I was up here by myself. The deeper and more lies there are, the more influence from the devil there is. You see, when you're lying, there is no truth. And the farther you get away from truth, thy word is truth, O Lord, the more evil there will be, because it's more inspired by the devil. You are of your father, the devil. Can I tell you why most politicians and all the political system is so bad, so evil, and so corrupt? Because they keep lying everywhere they go. The more lying there is, the more evil is present. But I want you to see something. This ought to make you shout a little bit. Did you know how to chase away lying? And it's not with your 357 or your 12 gauge. It's not even with your AR. The Bible shows us how we can chase away lying. Look at verse number 164. Seven times a day do I praise thee because of thy righteous judgments. Did you know it's hard to tell a lie and praise God at the same time? If you will take seven times a day and begin praising God for some things in your life, every day, seven times a day, you'd be surprised how much closer to God you'll get and how less you'll start lying. I start my day every day trying to praise God. Usually it is, oh God, thank you that I can even stand up right now. By the time I hobble in to get to the shower and figure out what day it is, why I'm up and where I'm going next, then I've got a little bit of clarity of thought. I can begin to praise God a little bit. I praise him in the morning. Then I get about my day a little bit. Usually I'm here before the sun comes up, but I'm out and about and see the sun come up, and I start praising him again every time I see the sunrise. I praise him throughout the day. I try at least six or seven times a day to praise God. Can I tell you something? When you know you're about to praise God again, it doesn't make you want to lie. By the way, I walked into, where was I? I must have walked into Sheetz or somewhere recently, one of the stores I was in, and somebody was just growling and grumbling. And I walked in early in the morning, and I caught myself. I was singing a song. I am so glad that my Father in heaven tells of his love in the book he has given. I didn't know I was even doing it out loud, Brother Gus. Good thing. I walked by and there's people. I got to the part of, I am so glad that Jesus loves me. I was filling my coffee. This guy says, who are you? I said, I'm Craig Bush, pastor of Grace Baptist Church. Who are you? He gave me his name. He said, is that one of those Jesus songs? I said, sure is. Would you like to know him? Not right now. Turn around and walked away. I didn't have to say another word. I got up in line. He was right in front of me. I was still humming the song. He said, you still at it? I said, are you? I said, you're grumbling. I'm happy. I'd rather be me than you. The little lady behind the counter, she's over there going, I wasn't intimidated. I wasn't the one grouchy. He was. I was having a good time. Can I tell you something? When you start praising God, it chases people away. It really does. Now, it could have been my singing that chased him away too. I don't know. But, hush up, Brother Barnes. You have nothing to praise God about that one for. Can I tell you something? To praise God, you're giving glory back to God and not to man. You're taking your credit and giving it to God. So many times we want credit for everything we do. Why don't we start giving God the credit? Well, I got this done. Yeah, but God gave you the strength to get it done. God gave you the sense to get it done. Or God gave you the wife to give you sense to get it done. Yesterday, Brother Barnes and I in the morning went and cut some wood. I was praising God. Say, why? We tugged into a big tree. Oh, did we tug into a big one. And when it's big enough that Evan Barnes can't get one log up by himself, it's too big, amen? So here I am trying to help him throw one log in the back of his trailer, and we finally got it up and on the edge. The problem was my hand was under this log that probably weighed 250 or 300 pounds. And Brother Barnes is saying, hang on, preacher, I got to readjust. I said, no, we don't. It's on my hand. Oh. You say, what did you do? You asked Brother Barnes. I said, oh, praise God, I got that thing off there. I was praising God. It wasn't sitting there anymore. I mean to tell you, we're getting ready to cut this tree down, and Brother Barnes said, preacher, you better be praying. This thing falls the right way. I said, turn the saw off. Let's pray. And we did. We bowed our heads right there, standing next to a tree and a chainsaw in each of our hands. I said, Lord, help this thing to fall right. Don't let anybody get hurt. I said, it's not going to fall on anybody's house or property, but we don't need it killing us. I said, Lord, just help it fall exactly where it needs to fall. I don't think you could have drawn a line on the ground and it fell exactly where we wanted it to. I mean, it just was as perfect as could be. And they say, where were you? I was about 200 feet away, standing with about 14 trees between me and it, because I wasn't about to get hit by that thing. Amen. I said, Brother Barnes, you better make sure you run the other way. Don't run in line with it. Run sideways. Amen. That thing just boom. When that thing hit the ground, you boom, like this. I mean, you could feel it. I was like, ooh, that was stout. I praised God as soon as it hit the ground. I was waiting. Brother Barnes is over there, and it got real quiet. I said, thank you, Lord. Oh, God, thank you. And Brother Barnes said, preacher, you okay? I said, yeah, I'm just over here thanking God. I really was. Those are things that chase away the lies, just so you know. It chases people away from you that don't like doing that. Hey, set times in your schedule to just stop and praise God for something. You know, some of you would quit being so grouchy, depressed, and upset all the time if you just praise God for a while. Brother Taylor, quit looking at her. You go get me in trouble. By the way, we only chase lies or errors with truth, not our feelings. Too many times we get our feelings affected by lies and we don't fix it. Your feelings are going to get hurt. We'll talk about that in the next verse. But watch this. Doesn't matter what our feelings are. You chase away error, you chase away lies with truth. A lie is untruth. So you chase away the lie with truth. And that's how you fix lying. I've counseled a lot of people. When I've had people say, well, preacher, just have a problem with lying. How do I fix it? You ready for the answer? Tell the truth. Tell the truth. Parents, teach your children, tell the truth, even if it hurts them. You know, I'd rather get in trouble for telling the truth than get beat for lying. Say, why? How did you learn that? I got the latter before the former. Amen. You just got to learn how to tell the truth, whether it benefits you or not. Tell the truth. Number three, and I'm just about done here, believe it or not. Let's look at verses 165. Great peace have they which love thy law, and nothing shall offend them. Now, I'm going to read the other verses here in a little while, but I want you to notice something. Love is not a feeling. Love is an action. It doesn't say, great peace have they which have squishy feelings about the Bible. It doesn't say, great peace have they which have warm and fuzzy feelings about thy law. It says, great peace have they which love thy law. That's people that take the law, use the law, and love God with the law, the Bible. I can sit here and tell you all day long, I love my wife. I can feel warm and fuzzy. I can get tingles all over the place, but I haven't loved her. Y'all know what I'm talking about? Love requires action. Now watch this. Great peace have they which love thy law, and nothing shall offend them. Love, not just knowing the Bible, but loving the Bible will keep us from getting offended. Now, that word offended, listen to me carefully here. The word offended is not getting your feelings hurt. Brother Stoltz, you are as ugly as any man I have ever seen. Now, that could be offensive if it wasn't the truth. Amen? Welcome home. Let's face it. Anybody that's been married more than about, I was going to say 6 months. Anybody's been married more than about 30 days, you've had your feelings hurt. I'm telling you what, you can get your feelings hurt in a hurry. But that's not being offended. America has corrupted the word offend into meaning, well, I don't like what you said. You offended me. Getting your feelings hurt, sweetheart, doesn't mean you got offended. The word offend is a very deep word. It is like the word offense in football. It is somebody that is literally attacking you to take something away from you. Somebody that is on the move, on the march, trying to push you back into so that they can prosper and so that you do not prosper. That is what the word offend means. It doesn't mean that somebody said something that twisted a curl in your tail and you got your feelings hurt. We have such a sissy society today. Sorry, I'm going to say it. We live in such a mamby-pamby little sissy-britches society, it makes me want to vomit. I didn't use the word I was thinking right there. You see, loving the Bible gives you peace, and the world will hate you more because you have peace. Great peace have they which love thy law, watch this, and nothing shall offend them. Did you know when you go soul winning and the person that wants to be rude to you or cuss you out, it makes them more mad that you don't get mad at them? It really does. I was out soul winning one day. This guy gave me a line of expletives that were about as long and lengthy as I've ever heard. And I just stood there. When he got done, I said, "You finished?" He said, "Yeah, why?" I said, "Because I don't want you to die and go to hell." I said, "You got a filthy mouth." I said, "Why don't you let me take the Bible and show you how you can go to heaven?" He started cussing me again. I said, "Are you done yet?" I said, "I'm glad I have an education that knows more than four-letter words." That went over real well. He said, "You're not upset." I said, "You are, I'm not." I said, "I have the truth. You're dying and going to hell." I said, "If I were in your shape headed to hell, I'd be upset too." I said, "But I'm going to heaven. You can't say anything to get me to not go to heaven." He said, "I never met somebody like you." I probably shouldn't say this. I was at the chiropractor this morning getting put back in line. He's popping my hips, my lower back. He put two ribs back into place, got my neck back into place. He's checking things out. And he said, He said, "You had any headaches lately, Brother Briney?" I said, "Yeah, a few. Why?" He said, "I know why." He said, "Where your head hooks onto your neck," he said, "your head's not straight there." I said, "I've been told that before." He said, "That's not how I meant it." I said, "That's what you said." I said, "Can you fix it?" He said, "Yeah." He said, "Hang on." I said, "Don't worry. My head's screwed on straight now." No comments. Now, wait a minute. Did you know I didn't get offended by that? Now, I had been picking on my wife. She was there. I'd picked on the nurse. I'd picked on him. But when it came time to pick on me, I started picking on me. He didn't know what to do with that. I said, "Hey, look, man, you poke as many times as I do. You better learn how to poke at yourself before somebody else does." He was laughing. We had a good conversation. Now, wait a minute. Learning to love the Bible and live by the Bible will keep you from getting offended by the world system. Do you know, no matter what you do, you can get all riled up every time you watch the news. I don't even hardly get, my pulse rate doesn't change. Can I tell you why? Number one, I don't listen to much of it. Number two, I'm not going to change it. I love God more than I love anybody in D.C., I love God more than anybody than I love in Charleston or at Berkeley County Council or at the courthouse or City Hall, whatever you call that down there. I'm not going to be offended by it. Can I tell you what we have in America? You have people all upset at the police officer for pulling somebody over when the police officer was supposed to pull them over. "Well, you offend me. You pulled me over because I'm this or I'm that or you're this or you're that." Now, wait a minute. Who made you God? Who made you God? Everybody doing okay? Being offended is an attack. The Sodomites offend us. They're attacking. The homosexual sodomite mentality is an offensive issue because they are attacking right. Global warming is offensive. El Papa and his counterpart, our president, are all about this global warming stuff. Folks, we are paying over $1.5 trillion a year because of everybody else's pollution. And guess what? There's no such thing as global warming. I was with Joe the other day. Remember about a year and a half ago? Almost 2 years ago. Al Gore and the global warming people sent a ship to the Antarctic in December, January. Well, what you don't realize is January down there is summer, not winter. And in their summer, they were going to show how the thinning of the polar ice cap is affecting the whole world. And they got a ship stuck in the ice. So they sent another one. And the icebreaker got stuck in the ice. They sent a third ship. And the third ship got stuck in the ice in the summertime. There wasn't much said about it after that, once they finally got everybody off all three ships. Now, wait a minute. It's all a farce. I got to hurry here. Verse 166 shows us how to combat this mentality of being offensive. Look at this. Lord, I have hoped for thy salvation and done thy commandments. Can I tell you what that means? I can break it down into either a compound word or two words, depending on how you spell it. Soul winning. You combat this mentality of the world by giving people the gospel and the truth. When people get saved, it's amazing what happens. Their life changes. Their outlook changes. They see truth in a different way. You go from hating this world, being bitter, being angry, to seeing God do something in you. Then you start going soul winning, and then you start feeling sorry for those poor suckers. Right. Not good grammar, but that's what it is. First time you witness to somebody and they don't get saved, and you realize they're one heartbeat away from hell, it does something to you. It's like, good night, you need this. And all of a sudden, all those feelings of anger turn into pity and to love and to compassion. It's amazing how much differently you look at life. Can I tell you why? Because you now have a spirit to look at it through. It's not just your flesh and not just your soul. You now have the Holy Spirit working through you. Now, our obedience to live the Bible is what God will use to combat driving these bad days away from us. Folks, the only hope we have is that book right there. Amen. That book right there. The King James Bible, not the Catholic Bible. Not the NIV-KEY-NOMOUSE version. Not the New King James Bible. Not the RSV. Not the NIV. Not the ASV. Not Good News for Modern Man or Bad News for Bad Monkeys or anything else. Not the gender neutral Bible, not the Ubonics Bible, not any of those. It is the old King James. Why is it that this is the only one they don't like? Why is it? Why is it that we can laud the Pope, but let a hellfire damnation preacher get up there and they're going to cut the news off in a hurry? You see, you cannot live without attack. But you can endure the attack when you are living by the Bible. They may even someday begin martyring people like they are in Syria and Iraq. But can I tell you something? They won the battle even though they lost their life. The worst thing to happen is you go to heaven. That's the worst it gets. Now, let me finish with something I said a little while ago. Take it one step farther. Where are the separation of church and state folks now with the Pope? Did you realize that the Pope ought to be the poster child against these people? He is head of church and state. The separation of church and state people ought to be picketing by the millions in America. No, they're going with him. Everybody doing okay? They hate God and the Bible. It's not that they hate the church. Do you know they don't hate Grace Baptist Church? They hate that book that we stand for. Somebody recently told someone, oh, I've heard of your church. That's that church where that preacher preaches that women are supposed to dress like women and men are supposed to dress like men. I wouldn't want to go to a church that preaches legalism like that. They said, what? I said, number one, they don't know what legalism is. Number two, I've never told anybody they couldn't come to our church. Period. Yeah, I'm going to tell you what the Bible says. You might be uncomfortable at times, but here it comes. I'm not always comfortable with it, just so you know. Just realize that the end days are here, and that these are great days and exciting days to be alive in. You say, what should we do? Reach every person we can with the Bible. With the Bible. While we can, before Jesus comes. Gentlemen, about 2 weeks ago, Brother Ron Kisner and I drove out, talked to Joe's daddy. I'm glad Joe didn't tell me, until after I talked to his daddy, some things about his daddy. I met him. He was like most people. You meet him the first time, there's a little distance there. But we began to talk. We walked down the end of the shed there. And I said, Mark, I said, do you know for sure you're going to heaven? He said, I think so. I don't know that I know for sure. And I pulled my Bible out. And I said, Mark, that's the Word of God. I said, if this represents what my church says, and this is God's words, I said, let's forget what the church says. And let's take God at face value. The man's face dropped. I went to John 1:1, John 1:14. He said, nobody's ever showed me that. I started through the scriptures. We had about 15 minutes later had gone all the way around the barn, not literally, but scripturally. And I said, Mark, wouldn't you like to know for sure you're going to heaven? He said, yeah, but how do I do it? I said, glad you asked. Took him Romans chapter 10, verse 9 through 13. He bowed his head and trusted Jesus Christ as a Savior that quick. I didn't know he had drugged preachers off his property before and just about literally, physically threw them off his property. But can I tell you what the difference was? I wasn't talking about me or the church. We were talking about the Word of God. It wasn't me that changed him. It's the Word of God that changed him. I'm no better than he is. I'm no worse than he is. I'm a sinner just like he is. I'm not El Papa asking people to bow down and call me your holiness. Don't you dare. Don't want nothing to do with that mess. God is holy, not me. Everybody doing okay? We live in exciting days. It is the Word of God that will change and transform your life. By the way, being biblically correct will at times make you politically incorrect. Choose biblically correct, forget politically correct. Being biblically correct or politically correct, choose biblically correct. You can answer to the government anytime you want, but when you answer to God, it's a whole lot different. I choose to be biblically correct. I'll try to do it with a good attitude. But if I have to choose between the Bible and the politics, I choose the Bible. I'll choose the Bible. And by the way, they've turned religion into politics. They've turned religion into politics. I hate to tell you this. Religion is not politics. To me, it's the Word of God. Don't care who or what, let's just preach the truth. By the way, that's why we stand for the truth. Tough days are coming. Don't get discouraged. These are exciting days. These aren't bad days. These are exciting days. Let's just learn to witness to everybody we can. Let's give them the gospel. Let's take it to everybody before Jesus come back. And then when the trumpet sounds, we're out of here. Amen. We'll let them rule and reign themselves for a little while till we come back, and then Jesus will take care of that, and we'll just follow and say what and do what he says do. Amen. Every head bowed, every eye closed. So many times we get a little weary of this world's systems. We just need to recharge our battery with the words of God.